Well, is it important to know what is going on inside of us? Is it important to know what's going on inside of us? This past Tuesday, I was up in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. This is for our district's annual theology conference. I think a lot of you know that. The conference is called Stay Sharp, which I think is a great name for a conference. So for those who didn't know, I am part of our board's, our district's board of credentialing. So when it comes to licensing, certification, all that for the district churches, I help with that. And then I also get online for Zoom calls for that as at a national level as well. And this past Tuesday, the credentialing board of the district got together for a power breakfast. So one member of the board is named Brian, and he's about 5 years older than me, lives in upstate New York. Brian told us at that breakfast, I didn't know anything about this, but he told us at that breakfast of how he was recovering from spinal surgery. So he'd been having some pain. He was having some problems with upper back numbness. His doctor wanted to see what was going on inside. And so the doctor ordered an MRI. And Brian found out that he had very bad spinal damage. So the good news is that his surgery was a success. They had gotten to the problem early enough, thank the Lord. If it had gone unchecked, it would have resulted in paralysis for him. But by God's grace, they found out what was going on inside. Last week, we were looking at Proverbs chapter 3. This morning, we saw just a portion of chapter 3. We're going to do the same thing this morning with chapter 4, just a portion of it. We're only going to be looking at 8 verses, but as we do, we will better understand the relationship of wisdom and the heart, and we'll have a different way to think about what's going on inside of us. The book of Proverbs has us thinking about knowledge, and this knowledge is so that we develop godly life skills. So how does the heart fit into that? That's what I hope we'll see. In Proverbs chapter 4, we are going to start with verses 20 through 22. It's called intentional internalization. We're going to try to have alliteration in our main points this morning. Follow along as I read just verses 20 through 22 in Proverbs 4. It says, "My son, pay attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. They are not to escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their body." So the verse starts out with, "My son." In our introduction of the series, we said that this was originally Solomon and his wife that were instructing their son. So Solomon wrote some of the sayings that are in Proverbs. He accumulated others. And we believe, this is important actually, and you'll kind of understand this even at the very end this morning too, but we believe that the composition of Proverbs was guided by God's Spirit, since it is part of the Scriptures. Right now we're in this kind of introductory section, and this is before the majority of the sayings that are so brief. This is the section that's kind of getting us ready for those sayings. Eventually, the nation of Israel recognized that Proverbs was good for training any young person, which is why you have some Bible versions that say, "my child" instead of "my son." From there, Proverbs became for anybody, for anyone that was young spiritually, anyone that needed formation in godly life skills, which, you know, is basically all of us. So the father says, "Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." This is like when a parent says to their child, "Hey, hey!" I want to see if anybody was looking down that made them look up anyway. But that's the way it is, right? That's what this is saying. It's like, "Hey, incline your ear." Now, the verb for incline means to stretch. I think you can guess what it means. So in this case, to stretch one's neck so that one's ear is closer to the person talking. If we really want to pay attention to somebody, we often do this, right? This is especially when there is competing noise. When I was at the district theology conference this past week, there was a time when our speaker asked about the 120 people that were present to get into small groups and to discuss kind of a case study that he had brought up. So there were four in my group, and one of the four was across an aisle. So the discussion of that many groups was creating a lot of noise, and I had to stretch my neck, I had to turn my ear toward that person in order to hear them. So the father here in verse 20 is speaking poetically. What we're to understand is that there is a lot of competing noise for the truth of God's word. And so we need to lean. In other words, it's saying that we need to be intentional in order to pay attention to it. Make sense? This goes right along with what we saw a couple of weeks ago, where it says that to get wisdom, it takes effort. Satan can use the noise of life to distract us very successfully. He doesn't want us to focus on the truth of God's words. If knowledge is going to lead to transformation in our lives, we need to be intentional about it. Do you agree? Three or four do. I think that's a good start. But this section is called intentional internalization. Verse 21 is talking about the internalization. The sayings, in other words, the wisdom, the understanding, they were not to escape the son's sight. He was to keep them in the midst of his heart. So the first part, as you look at verse 21, the first part is meaning to keep God's truth regularly before us. And you can decide, you know, for you, what is the best way to make that happen, to regularly keep God's truth before you. And so it's certainly talking about a regular access to scriptural truth and keeping that before our eyes. There are different methods. It's going to be for different ages. So here's one example. This book is designed for kids that are 3 to 8. Vivian and I used it with our boys. And, you know, it looks kind of simple. Maybe you think too simple. But the inside of it, I'll tell you, was much more complete. You know, some kids' Bible books, Bible stories, only cover like a few major stories. This was very complete compared to that. We thought it was a great resource. They're short. They even have questions, a few questions that follow to see if the kids are getting it, if they're understanding the content. So we're talking about what do we do to keep God's truth in front of us all the time? What do we use? This would be something that, you know, could be used for kids. Right now, for many of us as adults, we're reading through the Bible chronologically in a year. So here are some things from the Bible recap material. Some are using the podcasts, the study guides, the journals. There are all sorts of materials that are out there. And we want to say we always want to be careful with any one of them because, of course, in this, we say that the Bible itself is the most important piece. But if you talk about scripture on fridge magnets or 3x5 cards like Andy famously, you know, carries around, the goal of all those different type of methods is to regularly keep God's truth before us so that we can then start to internalize it. Verse 21 mentions the heart. We'll talk more about the heart soon. But just to say again in brief, the heart is talking about it's the core of us. It's who we really are deep inside. And we are to intentionally incline our ear to what God is saying. Specifically here, when you think about the context to Proverbs, the way to get godly life skills. And we do that regularly. We don't let his truth escape from our sight. And then we start to internalize it, to put it to the very center of who we are. Why? That's where verse 22 goes. The sayings, in other words, God's wisdom, is life to those who find it. It's healing to all their body. Now, last week we looked at chapter 3. We saw verse 7, which said, "Do not be wise in our own eyes, fear the Lord, turn away from evil." The blessing for obedience to that command was this: it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And I said there are plenty of studies that corroborate this idea about how inner health, spiritual state, our thinking, our emotions, that affects our physical health. So finding now this verse 22, it's pretty similar. Finding God's wisdom, making it a regular part of our inner core provides us with healing. His truth literally affects us physically. And really, the first part of verse 22 says that's the best way to put it. God's saying his truth is life. You could say that means eternal life, right? Because the New Testament shows that. But it's also saying that there's a higher quality of life now, too. We're going to go ahead and go from thinking about intentional internalization to healthy habits in verses 24 through 27. Now, I'm skipping verse 23 on purpose because, somewhat similar to last Sunday, I think that it presents the key idea. So because it's the key idea, we're actually going to leave it till the end for maximum effect. So follow along now as I read verses 24 through 27. Rid yourself of a deceitful mouth and keep devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. So we're going to go through these healthy habits pretty quickly. These are the ways that go along with wisdom, the development of what we've been calling godly life skills. These are habits, because habits that we form lead to skills. The first skill in verse 24 is basically this: don't use deceitful or devious words. I can remember a time when our second son regularly lied his face off as a young child. Some of you have been there, either as parents or as perpetrators. You know what you were like growing up. If this is not corrected early in life, I don't know about you, but I've seen examples of adults where lying is a way of life. They so much did it as they were growing up that they still do that as adults. But when we say deceitful or devious words, it doesn't just have to be flat out lying. I remember when, prior to a meal, Vivian asked our third son, who was young at the time, "Did you wash your hands?" And his reply was, "Do they look clean?" When we're tempted to portray ourselves in the best light possible, when we're tempted to portray ourselves in the best light possible, sometimes that leads to deceitful words. Not falling into that is a healthy habit. We see a similar idea from the Apostle Paul when he says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth." Another healthy habit is don't get distracted. That's from verse 25. Look directly ahead. Gaze straight in front of you. That made me think of what Jesus says in Luke 9:62. "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You stay fixed right with what's in front of you. We've already said in the recent past that all the treasures of wisdom are found in Christ, Colossians 2:3. And so seeking wisdom is ultimately seeking Christ. How many of us get distracted? Oh, what did he say? What did he just say? Sometimes I get distracted. I get distracted by the things that I really need to do, but I get distracted by the ministry fires that need to be put out. And maybe I think they need to be put out, you know, quicker than they really need to be. Or as I study, as I prepare, there's all sorts of stuff. You know, you hear this thing about how someone who's teaching or preaching the Bible, they study all these things and they won't end up sharing the majority of it. I admit that there are things that are cool or interesting to me as I study God's Word. But delving too much into those things can frankly distract me from what I really need to get done. And it's the same thing when we're pursuing God's truth in His Scriptures. We can be intentional. I am going to do this. We can start to internalize that truth to make it a part of us, but we get distracted and not keep looking straight ahead. Likewise, don't wander. That's the rewording of verse 26, saying, watch the path of your feet. Now the New American Standard, I noticed, is the only one that says it that way, watch the path. Most say ponder, give careful thought, carefully consider. All those, you know, are pretty easy. They're saying the same thing. The Hebrew word means to weigh or to make level. And if you have the New Living Translation this morning, you know that it's going in that direction of to make level, to make smooth. But the idea of weigh here is like when we talk about weighing our options. And I know you know that expression. So it means to be careful. It means to think about the path your feet are on, meaning the way that you're headed. So the New American Standard's watch is in the sense of watch out. Watch out for the path your feet are on. And so I think the point is just summarized by saying don't wander. Distracted is staying on the path, but maybe you're kind of like looking around. Watch the path or ponder means don't suddenly find yourself off on a different path that you shouldn't be on. And that happens to us, doesn't it? This can be sometimes what people would sometimes call the slippery slope. You know, we did something, we thought that's not really that big a deal. But then suddenly we discover that we've gone farther down the wrong path, and sometimes we think, wow, this is bad. How did I ever get here? If we watch the path of our feet, if we're taking the time to think about it, we're less likely to wander. It's more likely that our ways will be established, as the rest of verse 26 says. Being established is talking about consistency morally. So the last healthy habit is from verse 27. And simply put, it is get away from evil. I've kept it general, to put it that way, because what's being said here could be taken two different ways. So here are the two ways that it could be taken. Stay away from evil, or walk away from evil. And you can see when you look at your Bible version which one kind of seems, which way it tends to lean. When we might end up saying to ourselves, yeah, but what's evil? And I think the simplest answer that I'm going to give to this is as we grow spiritually, as we acquire godly life skills, we're going to be able to more readily answer that question ourselves. We'll be able to more easily discern when God's Spirit is saying, that's wrong, that's bad, that's evil. So this first sense of stay away from evil, I think it's pretty straightforward. We're to avoid it. We are to keep a distance from it, steer clear of it. But the second sense can be walk away from evil. And that you can understand of being in the midst of it, of somehow participating in it. So realize that and get out of there. Can you feel the difference between the ideas of stay away and walk away? Both are possible meanings here. And so I've just decided to kind of summarize and put them together by saying get away from evil, to have both possibilities. So we've talked about intentional internalization. We've talked about healthy habits. And now we're going to go ahead and finish with a superb summary of those truths, which is in verse 23. This is a very well-known verse. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Last week I said that the key verses of Proverbs 3, 1 through 12 were in the middle of the section. I think basically the same thing is happening here. The section is 20 through 27, but I think 23 in the middle is key. Now, I know that a lot of us have the New American Standard Bible, and so I wanted to point out that although you New American Standard Bible holders, if you look at 23 and 26, they both start with the same word in English, watch, but they're different Hebrew words and they have a different meaning behind them. So with verse 23, watch is in the sense of guard, keep your eye on, protect. So keep an eye on and protect your heart with all diligence. And, you know, all diligence, it might sound maybe not quite as down to earth as we would like. So I like the versions that say, you know, to keep your eye on it and to protect it above all else, more than anything else, instead of all diligence and vigilance, keeping an eye and protecting our hearts has got to be a top priority in our lives. Now, to properly do that, we need to understand what heart means. So earlier I said briefly that when the Bible talks about the heart, it's referring to our core, it's referring to who we are deep inside. Sometimes in the Old Testament, that same Hebrew word, it might be zeroing in on just our thoughts, or just our emotions, or just our will. But here in verse 23, when it says, watch over your heart, it means all those. The heart is where our thinking and our feeling and our choosing come from. And even this past week in a conversation, I heard someone say that people live what they believe. Do you agree with that? Deep down inside, people really live what they believe. So the heart is where our thinking, feeling, and choosing come from. But our heart reflects our action, is reflected in actions, right? So that's what we're to do. We're to keep an eye on, and we are to protect more than anything else. Jesus talked about the heart at different times. Here's what he said. This is how he's quoted in Luke 6:45 in the Christian Standard Bible. A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. So what a person says and does flows out of who they are on the inside. We have to be very careful. We have to monitor. We have to guard. We have to protect how we are on the inside, how we really are on the inside, because that is the place from which flows the springs of life. It says Proverbs 4:23. Another way of saying that is this: how we really are on the inside will come out in what we say and do. Last week, our main thought was basically a paraphrase of the key verse. I've done the same thing this week, so here it is. Stay vigilant about who you are inside and who you are becoming, because who we are inside determines the life we live. So is it important for us to know what's going on inside of us? It is. It was important for Brian to find out what was going on physically inside of him. It's important for every one of us to know spiritually, soulfully, what's going on inside of us. We have to stay vigilant who we are on the inside with intentional internalization as well as healthy habits. We can more easily work with God's Spirit as he seeks to mold us into what we're supposed to be. We're also to be vigilant to who we are becoming. Now, this is definitely true as you age. And you can talk about the important transitions in a person's life when they're no longer at home all day and they go off to school and they get exposed to all sorts of different things, maybe. When they go from graduating high school age, now they're going off into college, going off into the workforce, getting mid-age, becoming older, seeing what's happening to your body. This is true at every stage. We have to be vigilant who we are becoming. We have to ask ourselves, have we embraced some kind of slippery slope? Have we wandered from where God wants us to be? And my advice is just to allow others in the body of Christ to help us. If we sense that maybe that's happening, that we let other brothers and sisters in Christ talk to us about that, maybe sense that, maybe talk with us openly. And when we need to be humble enough to cry out to God for his rescue, when we see that that's happening. Who we are inside, our heart, determines the life that we live. And Scripture indicates that if it's in our own strength, our hearts, you know what it says, are desperately wicked. That's talking about us and our own power. Just by ourselves without God's help, our hearts are desperately wicked. So if anybody is here that's never called on God to help you, What a great time. Receive the Lord Jesus. Immediately, you're going to have supernatural resources at your disposal to start changing who you are inside. And for those of us that are already in Christ, we need to remember those supernatural resources too. Not take them for granted, not forget them. When I introduced the book of Proverbs, there was a piece of information that I decided to hold back. Okay, so weeks ago when I introduced Proverbs, I gave a lot of information. I talked about Solomon's life, but there was something that I held back, and I decided to save it till this morning. At various times, especially in these introductory chapters, it makes reference to Solomon's son. Did you realize that the scriptures only talk about one son of Solomon? That was a surprise to me. I guess I hadn't really realized that. It mentions a couple of daughters, but it only mentions one son, which blows my mind when I think about how many wives he had and concubines and all the rest. Think about that. Was God maybe doing that on purpose because of all those ungodly marriages? But scripture only mentions one son. Anybody, Bible trivia folks, you know Solomon's son? Rehoboam, exactly. Rehoboam. What was Solomon telling young Rehoboam in verse 23? Rehoboam, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Here's what 2 Chronicles 12 says about Rehoboam just after he died. Okay, so his dad, father, his father Solomon died. Rehoboam became king. So King Rehoboam became powerful in Jerusalem and reigned there. But he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. And you say, how in the world could that be? He was guided in all these things. And we talked about that a little bit in the introduction to Proverbs, that despite Solomon being wise, we talked about the way that he was wise. We know from his life that Solomon went away from the one true God and he followed false gods, having been influenced by his many wives. And I think the sad truth about Rehoboam is that he saw his father as a hypocrite, saying one thing and doing another. Keep your focused on Yahweh. Keep it focused on him straight ahead. And as a result, he didn't follow the one true God of Israel. So parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, do we realize the implication of that? We could say all these things that the scripture is saying. We could recommend all these things of you need to follow God faithfully. And if our lives are being a contradiction to that, don't be surprised if they go away from it. Stay vigilant about who you are inside and who you are becoming, because who we are inside determines the life we live. Let's pray. And Lord God, this is true for every single person here, me included. I think the majority of us would say that we have received Christ. Lord, if there is somebody who has not received Christ yet, despite whatever they say about themselves, if they know deep inside, deep in their heart, that they have not received your Son yet, that gift of eternal life through forgiven sin, it takes a humbling of self to be able to admit that. I pray, Father God, that you would make the way so that they could see that you want them to be with you for eternity, but it has to be according to the way that you say. It has to be according to receiving the sacrifice as their own from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, we know that with all the different stages, from the youngest person sitting here to the oldest person sitting here, there are always going to be these phases of life. And so who we are at this moment, it may not be who we are becoming 1 month from now, 1 year from now, for those that are younger, 30 years, 40 years from now. And I pray, Father God, that you will just really put this deep inside of us, that we'll understand that we have to monitor carefully who we are inside, because we're going to live that out So, Father, if there are correctives that we need to make, what a great time to be able to have an excuse to be silent and talk to you as we get ready to take communion together. I pray, Father, that this will be a lesson that we'll never forget, that you want us to carefully keep track of that, to monitor it, sincerely, openly with ourselves, maybe seeking the help of others, knowing that what's deep inside of us, our thoughts, our emotions, our will, that all those, if we don't keep track of them, it'll become so ugly and that we'll start to embrace things that are not of you. But if we do, oh Lord, you'll shape us more and more into the image of your Son. So give us wisdom, Father, even as we reflect upon these things and submit ourselves to your goodness and your love, but also your authority. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.